The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from the barrage here at Bar Canada at the D. Bar Canada, downtown Las Vegas. Glad to have you this morning. Kelly, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Are you excited for your Megapod debut tomorrow?
Let's go. I'm ready.
What does it feel like to have hit the big time?
Well, I'll tell you, Gil. First, I want to take a few minutes to thank everybody out there that's gotten me to this point. No, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun with you guys.
Kelly Bidlin coming to the Megapod tomorrow.
And we got Todd here.
Todd
right?
will be here. You will be here.
Yeah, so Will's going to be like the poor guy who's just
right.
not here with us.
That's right. It's kids' table. Look forward to that tomorrow after the show. On today's show, nothing but guests. My God, we're overbooked. Will Hill himself, Mike Pritchard, Jason Weingarten, Paul Carr with some soccer plays. Everybody in the house today. We look forward to all that. And we will talk, of course, NFL throughout. Will's got picks, college and pro. Another four college football games today. College football bowl games. And listen, I did this last week. Maybe I did it the week before. I'm going to do it one more time, which is my college football bowl PSA, which used to be true even in past years, but now is this on steroids, which is, listen, you can try to read the tea leaves of line moves. There's a big line move, of course, with the UNLV game yesterday. Read into what someone going on the transfer portal means to a line. That line went from 13 to 7.5 yesterday in favor against UNLV, I should say, in their game against Kansas. You can try to handicap these games. College football, as a sport in general, I always have said, it reveals itself quicker than any other sport in a specific game. So even in a normal regular season game, it's the best vehicle for in-game betting, specifically in bowl season. We used to say in past years, instead of trying to play amateur psychologist, who is motivated, who is not, it's best to just watch a bit of the game and then make a bet. And now with all of the mishugas around it, with transfer portal and guys just opting out, early, it's even that much more. And yesterday, you know, last week was famously, Kelly, was the ODU Western Kentucky game. I told the story about the bookends of getting Western Kentucky at over 5-1, and that made amends for the worst beat of all time in the Bahamas Bowl 9 years prior. Yesterday wasn't as sexy, but again, I sat there with Todd Wishnev, and I went 3-1 on in-game bets. And again, if you don't believe me, ask Todd. The point being that, you know, maybe you fashion yourself as a college football guy who can really handicap these games properly. But I am still going to argue, and this is the PSA, that watching these and betting these in game, two drives, three drives, a quarter, whatever you need to sort of get a grasp on a game is still a better way to go. And here's the thing, and here's where I lose my too cool for school card. Sometimes you'll get a worse line than you would have all run up to the bowl game, but I would still argue it's a more plus EV bet having watched a portion of these college football bowl games and getting a grasp of what's actually on the field rather than pontificating or guessing about it and trying to handicap it as best as you can for the weeks on the run up. And yesterday, you know, just to go through them real quick, Minnesota ends up winning their game against Bowling Green in the Quick Lane Bowl. They end up winning by 6. I had a Minnesota -4.5. That's not as good as the preflop number, but Minnesota ended up, because if you're watching the game closely in the second half, you could tell they were sort of the better team. It's not always going to work out, by the way. I'm not suggesting that it will, but I will suggest that if you did it consistently versus preflopping consistently, you would do better. Almost every bowl season doing this. Then it was the Texas State Rice game. I don't know if you caught this at all, the First Responder Bowl, where this game lasted all day long. It was over 4 hours of real time of just a bowl game that very few people were watching. By the way, part of this in-game stuff, I must admit, is you have no responsibilities in life, and you can actually sit and watch some of these games. So
yeah.
I will. And maybe I got lucky betting Texas State in-game in this, because Texas State didn't do much on offense, but Rice just kept giving them the ball back and forth. By the way, the head official of this game, I pretty much think attended my bar mitzvah. I'm pretty convinced. He was so... There was a moment in the game, and I'm not exaggerating, 10 minutes of real time, there was a running into the kicker and two personal foul penalties. And at one point, he wanted to walk off 35 yards against Rice. And then they had to, like, caucus several times. And finally, he was like, no, the running was declined. And then the two others offset. Yeah,
which it
was
one do you actually count?
Four-plus hours of football. And then last night,
I did watch, like, 4 minutes of this game.
Good.
And just during that 4 minutes of it was, like, the annual reminder of there are way too many freaking bowl games.
There are.
Way too many. And then hey, for bettors, it's great. But,
And finally, the UNLV-Kansas game last night, which Kansas had 213 yards of penalties. 213, I believe it was.
Holy cow.
18 penalties for 213. Let me make sure that I got that right.
JVT on with us next. No. He was at this game yesterday.
We'll talk to JVT about this. 18 for 216, pardon me. And Kansas threw three horrible picks and still covered, unless you got the 13, the worst of it. 49-36. I actually split in-game bets on this one. I had a -7.5. One I actually had a -13.5. So again, it doesn't always work out for you. But again, just a PSA. This is the better way to go in these bowl games. So take that for what it's worth. I hope if you have the time and no responsibility, you too can partake and win on these. NBA last night, Kelly, some things happened. Let's put it that way. One, Ja 4-0 now with the Grizzlies upon his return, and an overtime win, which resulted because Jared Jackson missed what could have been a go-ahead free throw with 0.4 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, the refs decided to insert themselves in the end of that game.
Yeah.
There was he had a shooting foul call that got overturned. You never see that. A challenge at the end of the game where there was a foul call that just clearly wasn't a foul on Shaw that they waved off then. And then, yes, you had that inbounds pass. It was a stupid foul by Valanciunas where they challenged that one, went to replay on that. That one, though, Valanciunas got, okay, when you're 300-plus pounds, you have a little body into a Jaren Jackson Jr., still a foul. He goes to the line, splits him, and, yeah, ties game, goes to overtime.
And then Ja ends up celebrating the victory, if you will, in overtime with what's probably the game-clinching dunk, let's say. Grizzlies end up winning it by one in overtime. But he does so by... miming, it's actually the Rocky a hips dance, but he can have plausible deniability that he was mocking LSU players. They were in New Orleans. But yes, he's miming gun play.
Like Ja, jeez.
Which reminds you of Gilbert Arenas back in the day who didn't learn his lesson either. So
tough, man. Like I watched a lot of that game early and then I watched the whole game. I watched most of the fourth quarter and then into overtime. And you're like, Ja Morant's so good. Like, the whole time you're just Ja Morant is so good. He's missed from the game. Like, the Grizzlies are so, obviously so much better with him. And then he goes and does something like that. And you're just like, dude, like, I'd still like you to be in this league in 2 years. It'd be nice to watch you play. How clueless can you be?
You know how we always come on this show on Guessing Line sometimes? I'm like, that left tackle is just daring the officials to call a false start. He is daring Adam Silver.
I don't get it. I saw it too, and it was. I didn't even go to Twitter right away. I'm like, did I really just see what I think I saw? You know what I mean? When you have one of those moments, and you're like, let me rewind it. Yep, I really just saw what I thought I saw. Cool.
Those four wins. Now the Grizzlies 4-0 since his return. Double the wins that the Pistons have all season long. The Pistons lost their 27th in a row. It's the single season longest streak of all time. 28 by the Sixers, which spanned over the course of two seasons, is the longest losing streak in all of North American sports history.
We didn't remember. We were bringing that up the other day. That's why
we don't remember.
Yeah, I forgot to text you after the show what I was reading about. I was like,
that's why we don't remember. Yeah.
And nobody brings it up, I feel like.
And the Pistons hung, right, all night.
Had a fourth quarter lead.
Yeah. 41 from Cade, 23 from Bogdanovich. Nah, still can't win.
Ugh, it's so...
28.
That one last night was tough, too, because, the Nets hit some shots down the stretch that it was like, man, like, you have to be... It's kind of like when we talk Survivor, right, where it's like, you have to be bad and so unlucky for this kind of streak
to happen.
That's
right.
So the Nets just hitting jumpers.
27 in a row. That's the losing streak. And now their opponents, you get to the point now where if you're one of their opponents, you don't want to be the team that loses to them. So that on the cusp of history. And the sort of betting implication I want to talk about last night is Spurs have a back-to-back coming up. Mm-hmm. Greg Popovich is already out there saying, well, Wembanyama's not playing in both of these. He has an ankle injury.
So you might have caught. Did you catch it the other day when he pregame warmup, when he got pulled from the game, pregame warmups, landed on a ball boy after making a layup, his foot landed his on foot, a ball yes. boy's foot.
That's right.
And he tweaked his ankle. So he did end up playing last night, had a good game, but only played 24 minutes. And Pop after the game discussed that he's not going to play in this back to back coming up with the Blazers.
He's been bad in back to backs. To be fair, Wembanyama has thus far this year. The Spurs and Popovich being sort of the pioneers of load management to begin with. Spurs lose to the Jazz last night. Does this trigger or help you or help nudge you over the hump on a Chet Holmgren Rookie of the Year bet?
It kind of, it's something I've been thinking about for like a week and a half now, because it's very clear. I thought this coming into the season. We didn't really see it for the first couple months, but when you've listened to Pop and these guys recently, I think they're smartly, they've been more vocal about the approach that, hey, however much time Wemby needs to get there, we're going to give him that time. And no matter what timeline he thinks he's on, we're going to make him slow down. He's still got a long way to go in his career. So, Chet right now, I know it's minus 170, but this guy is playing amazing basketball on one of the top teams in the Western Conference, where he is probably the second best player on that team right now in the Western Conference. This is all I'm saying, Gil. I haven't made the bet. I don't think I'm going to make the bet. There's a good chance, though, in about a week and a half, this is minus 350
right.
on Chet.
Might be the best number you ever
This might be the best number you're going to see.
Holmgren had 20 last night in the Thunder win over the Timberwolves, averaging 17.3 and 7.9 boards on the season. JVT on the other side next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking a bit smarter, then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today, get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for all college bowl games, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for our holiday special now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Pardon me. Just want to read these two tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jesse Welch. Maybe I'm wrong here, but I think we're collectively overreacting on the Brock Purdy MVP situation. If this was the Heisman Award, then the primetime suckitude takes him out. But this is the NFL MVP. They have to be voting on whole body of work. Hey, Jesse, we talked about it yesterday. Should Brock Purdy still be the favorite? Absolutely not. Lamar should be. Should Brock Purdy be 12-1? I mean, come on, really? Are we doing it this way? We'll get into it with Paul Carr. Paul Carr's a Dolphins fan a little later on. By that same logic, if the Dolphins crush the Ravens and Lamar has a bad game, will Lamar go down to 12-1 and then Tua will be the favorite? Is that how this is going to work every week in the market?
My head still spin a little bit, Gil, because I think you can look at McCaffrey, and I think everybody's going to rush to pick their own quarterback at one, put McCaffrey two, and all it takes is a few guys to go McCaffrey one, and you might be able to get that
numbers up. Game exclusive from yesterday, the Christian McCaffrey wins both awards scenario.
Yeah. I think it's possible. I really think it's possible.
He won them both. Like, we'll all wake up the next morning. Oh, my God. New York Mets 16. Scott, he says, if anyone didn't believe you about your bets, if a flair for the dramatics Todd Wish is a flair for the dramatics Todd Wishnev, the one you want to back you up, a medicated post-op Chris Felica, still a better character reference. Love you, Toddy. By the way, Toddy will be here, I think, in I was going to say in studio, but at Bar Canada here tomorrow.
Mañana. Yeah, absolutely. Something else I was going to say about. So to your scenario, Dolphins win, beat the Ravens. I almost said Bravens again. Uh-huh. Beat the Ravens this week.
Good team, the Bravens.
The Bravens. We've been dropping them all year, man.
Yeah.
But then what? Buffalo wins out, and Josh Allen beats Tua on the last week.
The transitive property of the MVP.
The point
race?
is that I think you could make a case for like four or five different quarterbacks at the end of this.
The point is, we have no idea.
Right. Yes.
We have no idea. And the comeback player of the year is the most reflective of how little we have an idea, but that's bad too, the MVP. We are handicapping voters. We have no idea if the market is reflective. Ladies and gentlemen, he is our senior NBA analyst. He's the host of Hardwood Handicappers along with Kelly. He also does college football shows on the weekend and had the misfortune being in Phoenix yesterday that he missed the smooth sounds of Beth Mowins, as Will Hill says, which I think is great. It's JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. How you doing?
That's okay. I was in the press box, actually, and I bumped into Mowins on my way to get popcorn. So I think that makes up for it.
Was she like, don't bump into me ever again? Did she say that to you or no?
Yeah.
No?
No, because I made that story up, actually. I didn't bump into her, but she was
okay.
There. No,
yeah. Just curious. So there's one lie in the books already in the segment. Did you have you said off air you had the over in this, so you cashed.
Yes. Actually, so this is one, Gil. I don't know how much you were track of this yesterday. I thought this was the story of the night in the sports betting universe yesterday, excuse me, because there was a rumor that Jason Bean, the starting quarterback, had the flu, and he wasn't going to play. So we got this number all the way down to 7.5. The total went from like 69.5 down to 65.5, 64. And it was funny because we sat there the whole time at the press box just watching for this kid. And then he comes out and he does this warm up only with the trainer. This is a Beeson exclusive, right? You want this report? Wiping snot from his face the entire time that he's doing this warm-up. So he was clearly sick and feeling something. But UNLV's defense was not very good, so it really didn't make too much of a difference. But it was great yesterday. But, yes, I had the over in that thing. I wouldn't say easily, but you didn't really have to sweat the over, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, might have explained the three horrible picks he threw in the game, maybe if you draw the line from that.
Yep.
Okay, there are four bowl games today. Did you play anything pre-flop in any of these?
No, so today I actually don't have anything. I didn't really love the bowl games today. I do have for our betting contest, we have like a betting contest over at Beeson Primetime. The winner gets a free cabana, so I'm definitely invested in what's going on today. But I would say, like, of the games, what I think is the most interesting is Texas A&M and Oklahoma State. Yeah, only because, you know, it's weird how the market kind of works with a lot of these bowls, right? So much is information-based. So much is, hey, who's playing and who's not? And I wrote this preview up in the Texas Bowl about 3 days ago. And 3 days ago, we knew that Texas A&M had about six defenders with key roles on that defense that weren't going to play. Obviously, the issues at quarterback along the offensive line, like a whole bunch of opt-outs and transfers. And yet the market was really, really stubborn in moving off of this number. And there was like this slight thought that maybe Ollie Gordon, the starting running back for Oklahoma State, was not going to play. He announces that he's going to return. It sounds like he's confirmed that he's going to play. You go from Texas A&M minus two just about 2 or 3 days ago to Oklahoma State minus three here today. So I do think that there comes a point in bowl season where it actually behooves you to kind of go the other way. And we've got multiple examples of this, right, where the market is steaming too far in one direction and it benefits you to look the other way. And I think this might be one because while Texas A&M on the top side has lost a lot of their starting talent, this is still a very talented team that from recruiting standpoint, if you really buy into it and look into it, Texas A&M does have a pretty big edge. And Okie State was a team that I thought played above their skis a little bit this year. So I would say slight lean to Texas A&M given the line move, but nothing strong.
Real quick before we get to the NBA, what does the Jonathan Von model tell us to play in the NFL this week?
I haven't updated the model for this week yet because I've been on the road. And when I get back after, by the way, selfish plug, after I get done with the NBA bet stream tonight between the Oklahoma City Thunder, the New York Knicks, I will be running that to see when it's going to happen.
All right. Where can people catch the bet stream, JVT?
If you have League Pass, you can just pull up the OKC New York Knicks game tonight. And there's multiple streams, right? You can watch the Knicks broadcast, you can watch Thunder broadcast, or you can watch the official NBA bet broadcast, which I will be on with Brendan Gleeson and Sean Little tonight.
Oh, man, you must be in heaven, man. Oh, that's right down your alley.
They're great.
Okay, let me ask you about the NBA. We were just throwing around something about Rookie of the Year. And based on, you know, Wembanyama with the injury, Popovich's comments about a little load management, Chet Holmgren's minus 170. Do you feel, by the way, it should be mentioned that Jaime Jaquez is 30-1, who Gilbert Arenas, I don't know if you caught this, Kelly, Gilbert Arenas is just killing him. He's like, he's 21. He should be judged against the other 21-year-olds. It's like killing Jaquez for no reason. Do you believe that Holmgren, like, if folks are wanting to bet him here, that this might be the lowest they'll get it for some time?
Yeah, look, Gil, I'm of the mindset, I've told this on the pod, Kelly, I've said it multiple times, if Chet Holmgren's name was Victor Wembanyama and he had this resume, he'd be like minus 550.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Like, if Wembanyama even sniffed this production, he would be the runaway favorite. So I would say yes, especially if he's going to miss some time. You know, you look at the other day where he kind of tweaks his ankle and they freak out and put him on ice for the game. Like, this is going to be something that's going to continue to happen. And I think that when we're talking about missed time, better production on a winning team contributing to that, I was listening to an NBA podcast the other day, Brian Windhorst Hoop Collective. They were actually discussing throwing Chet Holmgren in the discussion for Defensive Player of the Year, right? So if that's going to be a legitimate, and they were very serious about having that conversation, this guy is well ahead of Victor Wembanyama when it comes to Rookie of the Year. This thing is only going to grow. Jaime Jaquez has been good. You know, you can make cases here and there for it. The only thing you're betting on, if you're betting Jaime Jaquez, is you're hoping that Chet Holmgren, like, misses the rest of the season tomorrow. I think he's got a strong enough lead that minus 170 is playable. He's going to win this thing.
Is there another award or futures bet, division, conference, whatever it is, whatever award that you think is playable right now?
Yeah, you know, I think if you're looking at it and if you buy into some of the changes that we've seen, some of the improvements that we've seen from this team, and because they have some win equity, I think you're strongly considering the Golden State Warriors to come out of the Western Conference.
Let's go.
Klay Thompson. Yeah, because I think Klay Thompson is finally starting to turn things around. He's starting to shoot really well in the month of December. We know that Draymond, you're eventually going to come back. Steph Curry is obviously Steph Curry, and he can maximize the team, bring them to the NBA Finals. His run to the NBA Finals 2 years ago is one of those underrated runs ever. He carried that team by the scruff of their neck. And if all of a sudden the little spurts that you're seeing from Andrew Wiggins are legitimate, this is a team that's got some pretty decent depth, and they're starting to find some things. Trayce Jackson-Davis has been a pretty good forward option for them. I think that there is some danger to them if you believe that the things that we've seen over the last 5 to 7 games are true, especially from a guy like Klay, because they need that to be legitimate.
Oh, I love what I just heard. All right, JVT, 6 games in the NBA today. What have you bet so far?
So I'm going to have nothing yet, but I will say this because I was looking that around. I want to get some things down when it comes to the injury reports and whatnot. But OKC and the Knicks tonight, I got to say, I'm very interested in Oklahoma City overall, -3, you know, at home here against New York. I want to make sure injury reports are going to be clean, that nobody pops up. But I don't think New York really has the weapons defensively to match up with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. I think this is going to set up for a big game for him. So whether you want to lay Oklahoma City -3 here at home against New York, or look to play some overs here for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, whether it's points and assists or just overall points, I think this sets up for Oklahoma City to have a really big game tonight.
Okay. JVT, your favorite part about working with Kelly on Hardwood Handicappers is what, in a sentence or less?
Trying to think. I was seeing his hair change shape every day.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, those headphones can do it for you. That's for sure. JVT, safe flight back. We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Jonathan Ontoble, everybody. At me, JVT, Hardwood Handicappers host, again, NBA senior analyst. And again, the two college football shows that he does over the weekend are great. So he's locked into bowl season as well. Still to come this hour, Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. We'll talk NFL with him. But first, our own Will Hill. All his college bowl thoughts and his pro football thoughts as well. Maybe his thoughts on Beth Moens. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. I think I'm going to lean into this one. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there, as you know. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Now, here's the dealio. If you're a smoker or dipper looking to ditch the ashtray or spit cup, look no further than Zyn. Zyn's made with 6 simple ingredients and is available in a wide range of varieties, including spearmint, citrus, and even coffee. Our own Bill 80 loves the old wintergreen. Talk to him about that. It's available in 2 strengths so you can control your nicotine satisfaction. Because it's discreet, you can enjoy it anywhere, anytime, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Plus, every can of Zyn earns you points towards premium items like tailgating gear, top-of-the-line tech, Zyn swag, and even gift cards. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. I'll spell it Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. Always a pleasure to welcome in this gentleman. He is the star of the Megapod, one of the stars. Also one of the stars of the Bear Bets Pod, Chris Felica's podcast over at Fox Sports, college and pro football versions. And now the host of his own podcast once again. I love that he's brought it back. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on? That was a hell of an ad read. I don't smoke, but I might start smoking just so I can quit, just so I can get on to Zyn. That was really convincing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's exactly what we wanted people to do from that read, I think. By the way, will your podcast tell people about that real quick?
called Should a Bet More. Right now, two times a week, might be bumped up to three times a week. Usually one early in the week. Did one yesterday with Jason Weingarten. Have you heard of Jason Weingarten, Gil? He's great. You should have him on. He's a hell of a guest. So got him going about awards, futures. It didn't take long for him to get into his Nick Gates rant from last year, which he was very happy to expand upon. You were on last week. Got a lot of good feedback on that. So we're going to have some good guests. Got to get Kelly on. I know Kelly's got like a million podcasts, long shots, hardwood handicappers. Who knows what else he's got going on. But yeah, it's fun. Happy to be hosting again. So it's been fun, called Should Have Bet More, which, look, we've all said, we all say all the time. So check it out. Follow, rate, subscribe, all that. All
right. I love it. I love it. Long shots back next week, Will. Well, you'll have to talk to my people. We'll see. We'll work something out.
More importantly, are the ads back next week? Because that's what we all want to know.
That's what we really want.
I don't know. I'm going to guess they're not back till like May.
Will, talk to me about college bowls today. You subscribe to my in-game theory that this is still the best way to bet this, but I would imagine. But do you have any pre-flop today?
Yeah, either live's the best way to bet it, or just round robin or parlay all the underdogs on the money line. Now, the favorites made a comeback yesterday, but from Thursday to Saturday, not only did all the dogs cover, all the dogs won, most of them, except for, you know, South Alabama was a big favorite, and there were a couple lines that were pick 'em. But man, you got a couple 7-point dogs, a few 3-point dogs. If you round robin, if you parlay, man, if you parlay them, you could have really done well with those. But like you said, you can watch a lot. You can learn a lot by watching and make some money that way. Today, there's a few I like. I like USC plus 7. There's a 7 out there. DraftKings has a 6.5, but there is a 7. I just think, look, it's USC. They have the athletes. They have the depth. Like, I know Caleb Williams isn't playing, but it's still, you get that level of player that USC gets compared to Louisville, and you're getting 7 points. And let's face it, these are all exhibition games. That's a lot of points. And look, I know it's still Caleb Williams, but maybe there's a little Ewing theory there where, you know, that's an odd dynamic where you have a kid that's that rich, that famous, you know, he's doing Wendy's commercials. Maybe it's not the worst thing to get him off the team. Maybe get a little bump from that. One that I really like, USC is plus 130 to score first at DraftKings. Now, most teams defer, college football, NFL, you win the toss, you'll say, hey, we'll take the ball in the second half. Lincoln Riley's been the coach at USC for 2 years. They've won the coin toss 11 times. They've elected to receive 10 of the 11 times. So chances are USC starts with the ball here. If you're getting them plus 130 to score first, if you can find a first quarter plus 1.5,
I like that.
Not a bad angle there. So USC plus the 7, USC to score first. And I think Oklahoma State rolls over A&M. A&M's sitting most of their guys. Sounds like Gundy, who's usually good in these bowls, is going to take it seriously. Ollie Gordon's playing. So I think Oklahoma State should be able to run all over A&M. So those are the two I like.
I love that. The USC bit there is great. And I'll just say it again. I know I'm supposed to say, you know, intelligent things 100% of the time, and it's supposed to be like, oh, it's the most sharp betting thing in the world. But again, when it comes to this and this alone, college football, you know, let's say you don't know a single player in any of these games. And there's a lot of people out there who don't. As we progress in bowl season, that'll be less the case, but certainly in these early ones, there is nothing better to me than showing up for these games and observing and betting. And so just again, keep that in mind. I know it doesn't sound, oh my God, how could you possibly recommend such a thing? Honestly, it's the best. It's the most plus EV thing I believe you could do during this bowl season. But I love that.
The games are so crisp, too. They flow so well.
Yes, they sure do. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Some of these things that we saw yesterday. Okay. Anything? What's your favorite bowl play beyond today?
Favorite bowl play beyond today. I don't see how Florida State earmuffs, Kelly. I don't see how Florida State scores against Georgia.
Earmuffs.
To me, like, I mean, I know it sounds like the most square thing in the world, like, oh, Georgia's just going to beat them, I don't know, 38-0. But I think Florida State team total at DraftKings is under 13.5, minus 125. Like, obviously no Jordan Travis. Rodemaker's opting out, and he's going to in the transfer portal. You're going to have Brock Glenn, the third string guy, against this Georgia defense. I know Georgia has their fair share of opt outs, but to me, like, I don't know that Georgia has an appetite to like run up the score here, but, and you're through the key number of 17, there's some 17.5 popping up. I just think unless you get some fluky defensive scores, special team scores, I don't see how Florida State drives the length of the field twice and gets in the end zone twice to go over that 13.5. So Florida State team total under is probably my favorite play.
I think it's a good call. I hope in protest they just go fullback dive every play. play. So, yeah, just full, I think it's a good call.
Fullback plunge, everyone. Two things on that. One, thank you for not testing the earmuffs like Will Ferrell did. And then two, I hope Rodemaker goes on to have the greatest career any human being has ever had, just so we can look back on this and be like, oh, yeah, I could never have played with that guy. Okay, week 17, National Football League. What you got?
Like Atlanta, I think we're still getting three there. We were at least a few minutes ago when I looked. We've all talked about this on the Megapod. Wishnev's been all over it. I think we all agree Heineke's better than Ritter. The loyalty to Ritter has been more one of the more bizarre, perplexing things I can ever remember, where they just keep running the kid out there. Not that Heineke's some great player, but Heineke's at least serviceable. Ritter is not. Atlanta's got a pretty good defense. I know Chicago's played pretty good defense here, so you're getting three in a game that to me is a toss-up. Heineke, with all they've got skill guys you like with Pitts and Robinson and London. I mean, that's not a terrible team, which is why it's so odd that they stuck with Ritter. So give me three with Atlanta. I'll take it. It's square, but over 53.5. And I think this is the highest total of the year, which is not that high for a high total. Cowboys Lions over 53.5. Cowboys at home are just a machine on offense. They're going to get their mid 30s against pretty much anyone. Goff indoors, I think, will be able to keep up. So to me, that's, I don't know, a 31-24, 34-27 type of game. That should be a fun game with a lot of points. So I like the over in the Cowboys Lions game. Trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, Arizona's getting what, 11.5. That's to me too many points. Philly just has holes everywhere on defense. Gannon has a little familiarity with Philly for whatever that's worth. So Arizona, they were bad last week, but they've been feisty in a lot of these games. They've been either covering, winning, close to winning. They've been, for a three-win team, they've been a little better, I think much better than we probably expected. So you're getting 11.5. To me, that's a lot of points.
I'm with you on that last one for sure. I think that's way too many points. Anything in the association tonight? I know you're betting the NBA these days.
Nothing in the NBA. And is college basketball, is it back today? I feel like we haven't had a game in a couple of days, and I don't remember that in past years. Usually you do get some games on Christmas. You get some of these holiday tournaments, Christmas Eve. So it's been a very light college basketball schedule. I haven't bet anything in the NBA. I haven't bet anything in college basketball. I will add one more. I do think Flacco at plus 400. I know you've talked about this. I think if the voting were today, I think it would be pretty much a coin toss between Flacco and Hamlin. And I know, and I've been with you all year. Hey, Hamlin died on the field. It's his award. I got the sense Sunday that the narrative is shifting to, wow, can you believe this Flacco story? He's throwing the ball all over the field. They're winning games. He was on the couch a month ago. And what Aaron Schatz said on your podcast, a few weeks ago, was very telling, where, hey, I'm not going to vote for him and he's probably not going to be on my ballot. If other people are thinking like that, I think it's very possible Flacco wins this award. Again, you missed the sexy numbers at 100-1, 200-1, 60-1, but at 4-1, I don't think it's a bad bet.
I agree with all of that. I do. And again, you're right. I was the one who was screaming, hey, if he steps on the field again, he should be talking about DeMar, the comeback player of the year. But it took a story like a 38-year-old off the street Joe Flacco to outperform every quarterback that you know was under center for the Browns before him, including the $253 million man, Deshaun Watson. And I think you're right, and this is the point I was making about these awards yesterday, especially with Comeback Player of the Year. We have no idea if that market reflects reality with voters. And that Schatz point is the key. If you're not betting Hamlin first, if you're not voting Hamlin first, he's probably not on your ballot at all, which is different from the MVP calculus, right?
And it's not Comeback Player of the Year. It's Best Story of the Year. We take it too literally.
That's a great point. Best Story of the Year is really what it is. Plug away, sir.
Should Have Bet More podcast, Bear Bets podcast, Megapod tomorrow. So check it all out. Thanks. Thanks, Gil. See you guys.
Will Hill, everybody, at not the Will Hill. Two E's on the V. We'll do the Megapod tomorrow. Eric Eager, Dr. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports on the NFL. His thoughts next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. That's VSIN. The crown is yours. Real quick, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Alex Apostolos, among those who, the Greg Jones segment yesterday got a lot of feedback. He loved it. And he basically is saying a lot about you know, everybody's sort of rooting for Greg. He said, all respect to Greg, wishing the best. He did say, but as my grandpa would say, when people complain about winning in taxes, nice problem to have, or where do I send the check? Seriously, good luck. And Greg said he was never complaining at all about that. Said just pointing out that it's a huge factor in any CHOP discussions, how the game plays out. We sent out that clip yesterday. It's really interesting. And thanks to Greg again for coming on the show. This is from Torch D. Can we please have a discussion about how roughing the passer calls and quarterback injuries are both at an all-time high? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we'll have a discussion about that, but it's certainly the case and certainly an interesting thing with this season. Jay Buckley, I just purchased Chrissy's book, and the praise he has for you is doting, Gil. Can't wait to get further along. Should have had you do the Audible version. Have a good one. Oh, Chrissy's book is out. I gotta text him and call him up after the show. My Mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, with his latest book out. So we got to check that out. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a while since he's been on the show. And that is a shame on us situation. We love him. He's Dr. Eric Eager at Sumer Sports. He joins us now. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing great, Gil. Happy holidays to you and yours. And I hope everybody, is recovered from the scandal that was UNLV versus Kansas last night.
The scandal, meaning the point spread crashing and then Kansas still covering? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, there was like this weird, like, you know, there were no injury reports. Like, what do people know? It waited until the end. Like, it's been a funny, like, topic of conversation in basically like all my group chats. So,
yeah,
that was an interesting game for sure.
It was three games in one. Like, Kansas crushed them 28-7, and then UNLV came flying back, looked like they were going to take a lead, and then Kansas at the end sort of stomped on them.
We did get a hard hitting report from JVT about watching the snot being wiped away pregame.
Over it, Eric. JVT, firsthand account. They were just monitoring Bean before the game and see if he was sick or what was the story. Okay, let's talk NFL. Let us establish you are not an awards voter, correct?
I'm not an awards voter. No, I have I have done somebody's ballot before, but I do not. I am not planning to do so this year, and I'm not an official voter.
All right, can I just ask you about that? Why did somebody let you do their ballot? They didn't want to do it?
People are busy, man. You know, like, I've ghostwritten a decent amount of people's stuff before, you know, back when I was starting out, and like that was. Yeah, I was officially on the ballot for College Football Awards in 2021. I got off of that when I left PFF. But then even before, like, I've helped with all pro voting for people and college all conference stuff for official voters. But this year I am not slated to do so. So I can talk freely.
Okay, so let's talk freely and let's go with what would Dr. Eric Eager vote for right at this moment with 2 weeks left in the regular season? MVP, sir, your vote would be?
My vote would be the favorite, Lamar Jackson. I understand that EPA and everything is not as high as some of the other guys. But when you look at sort of the gravity that he has, the 12 rushing touchdowns by Gus Edwards, almost all of them are like untouched because the linebackers are afraid of Lamar, obviously increases, passing ability. And I want to say, you know, this has been true about the Ravens for quite some time, but like they've had a 90% chance to win every single game in game this season. So they've been really dominant, even above and beyond the record that they have. And so, you know, in a season where there isn't really one quarterback that's running away from it, I'll tell you who the best bet on the board is in a second. But like there's really no one running away with it. You kind of look at the best team and you look at their quarterback and you say, is that player elevating the play of everybody around him? Yes. Is he playing good football? Yes. Like that to me feels like the two things that you need to look at when you vote for this award. And I think Lamar checks both of those boxes right now.
Okay. He's who you'd vote for. Who's the best bet?
The best bet is Josh Allen at 13-1. I've said this like every single time I've come on this network. I think like the path is Dolphins lose to the Ravens, but it's one of those Ravens like where they mess around all game and Lamar doesn't look all that good and they win by 2 or 3 points or something like that. And then the Bills win the AFC East because Josh Allen goes crazy the last two games, and including a game against the Dolphins. And that to me would be a path where you could see Josh Allen winning it. I don't think you can see Dak, even though I think he's deserving of consideration, because, you know, Dallas probably isn't going to win the division, and there aren't that many compelling, like, Detroit's a compelling game. It's an island game. So maybe that's going to help him a little bit, but I just think the path is weird for Prescott, but there is an out for Josh Allen. It's, you know, Fins lose the last two, but they make Lamar look not impressive in the process. And then Josh Allen looks amazing and they win the division.
Ian Rappaport reporting just during the show here this morning, potential good news for the Texans and quarterback CJ Stroud, who's in the NFL's concussion protocol. He's expected to practice today. Coach D'Amico Ryan's saying that Stroud has been in meetings and, quote, he's definitely making progress, unquote. This would absolutely be more progress, Rappaport says. He's right about that. To you, is there any way that he cannot, if he's on the field, like, what would he have? He'd have to be really bad not to win this, right? Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I don't think... I think he has the built-in excuse, for one. And so if he goes out there and plays poorly because of a concussion, like, I don't really see... Anyway, I mean, he is playing against Will Levis, and Will Levis has kind of played okay this year, not great. So you could see maybe a contrast hurting him, but no, I mean, he's the heavy favorite, and I think he really should be.
Yeah, I would disagree in terms of, I think if he did play poorly, and Puka Nacua is setting records, multiple records, I'm not sure that I would go that far, but I would agree with you that it would... If there's anything credible, it would be C.J. Stroud. So I'll agree with you in that respect. Is there any other award? I mean, a comeback player of the year, I even hesitate to ask you because who knows, right? But who would you vote for?
I mean, the DeMar Hamlin thing is obvious, I think, and the league, you know, has already set the precedent with your commies and Alex Smith a couple of years ago where, like, you literally get on the field and, like, Alex Smith had more interceptions and touchdowns that year, but... they gave it to him anyway. I think Hamlin's like probably going to win the award based on that. But if you mod out by that, like the most deserving person is Baker Mayfield. Yes. They're -3 at home against the New Orleans Saints, basically a win and clinch the division type of game for them. And, you know, that's incredible considering Mayfield was one of the worst quarterbacks statistically in the NFL last year and was run out of Cleveland the year before. Mayfield is certainly impressed greatly on a team that I don't even know if they do that much to help him other than have great receivers. They run the ball a lot in early downs and all that kind of stuff. He's overcome a lot, and I think he's deserving of the award if you don't give it to Hamlin.
Any other award market that you think is mispriced?
I think Stefanski, I'd have to look at, it depends upon the market you're in, but I think Stefanski's anywhere from like what, first, second, or third in Coach of the Year odds. I think he's easily the Coach of the Year if you look at, you know, sort of all the injuries that they've dealt with. You look at how difficult that division is with Cincinnati and Pittsburgh also having winning records along with Baltimore. He's easily the Coach of the Year, in my opinion. And I think the only reason they're not giving it to him is because that award is sort of a fraudulent award. Like literally everybody that wins it, like Dable, Vrabel, like those guys almost never repeat. And so I think there's a bias against guys that have won it before. And that's would be Stefanski in 2019. So I think that's why he's getting the nod. I think Campbell's getting a lifetime achievement award if he gets this rather than a pat on the back for what he's done this year. I thought his job last year was much more impressive than the job he's done this year.
All right, real quick, rapid fire. Team that you think the market has the most wrong, either to the good or to the bad, in this final stretch heading into the postseason?
It's like, I hate to say this because I'm a fan, but like, I think it's Kansas City right now, fifth in Super Bowl odds. They're laying 7 against a Cincinnati team that I think it's going to be a little bit spicy in this one. I don't know if there's a way. I think that the Chiefs' path to winning the Super Bowl is to win this game Sunday, take off week 18 because you basically have the 3 seed and nothing better sewn up. And then come out of the bye fresh. I mean, Patrick Mahomes isn't throwing the ball to receivers because he doesn't like them. They're not protecting him well. And Andy Reid's not calling his best set of plays. So to me, I don't know. And I understand the Bengals got killed by the Steelers the other day. But like, I don't understand how you can lay 7 with Kansas City right now, given their inability to move the football. Their defense is fantastic. But as we saw Monday, like that can only take you so far.
Eric, appreciate it as always. Could talk to you for hours about this stuff, man. Enjoy the final two weekends of the regular season and into the postseason, man. We'll talk again.
Gil, Kelly, take care, guys. You're the best.
Dr. Eric Eager, Sumer Sports, S-U-M-E-R.
Comeback player of the year is tough. I agree with him on Baker, though. Like, I don't get the Flacco over Baker.
Not as much love on Baker, that's for sure. And the market reflects that. Levitard, next on DK Network. We're coming back with Mike Pritchard next at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.